Let's stand before the majesty of God by opening the Holy Scriptures, 1 Samuel 17, beginning to read at verse 32. This is the great battle of Israel against the Philistines, and they've brought out their champion Goliath and made a deal, or imposed a deal. If our champion wins against some champion you bring out, you're our slaves. If your champion beats ours, we're your slaves. And their goal is to destroy the people of God, the covenant people, by taking them as their slaves and making them part of the world, part of the uncircumcised Philistine godless world. 1 Samuel 17. So we have the battle lineup: Goliath versus David, or Goliath versus David, David's God, in the first half. And now we have the battle itself in the second half. 1 Samuel 17, page 284. So David's saying, why are we letting this brute get away with defying our Lord and his people? Verse 31, when the words that David spoke were heard, they repeated them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him, because of Goliath. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, and he has been a man of war from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep sheep for his father, and when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered it out of his mouth. And if he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God. And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. Then Saul clothed David with his armor, put a helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. And David strapped his sword over his armor, and he tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. Then David said to Saul, I can't go with these, for I've not tested them. So David put them off. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. And the Philistine moved forward and came near to David, and with his shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. When the Philistines arose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand into his bag and took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine and took a sword and drew it out of his sheath and killed him and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and Judah rose with a shout and pursued the Philistines as far as Gath and the gates of Ekron, so that the wounded Philistines fell on the way from Shaarim as far as Gath and Ekron. And the people of Israel came back from chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their camp. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem. But he put his armor in his tent. And as soon as Saul saw David go out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, "Abner, whose son is this youth?" And Abner said, "As your soul lives, O king, I do not know." And the king said, "Inquire whose son the boy is." And as soon as David returned from striking down the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, "Whose son are you, young man?" David answered, "I'm the son of your servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite." This is God's word. May he build up our faith and confidence in the Lord, not in ourselves, through this holy word. Imagine, brothers and sisters in Jesus, a celebrated boxing match between two great boxers. For 6 weeks in advance, these boxers posture and boast and insult, and they talk up their fight. There's this great build-up. Finally, the match comes that everybody's been waiting for, and the boxers, they step into the ring. And in the first round, in the first blow, one guy is dropped to the ground and it's over. It's over. That's a little bit about what this high-stakes fight is in 1 Samuel 17. After 6 weeks of build-up, flexing muscles, insulting, nerve-wracking terror, the fight is on. And in less than a minute, it's done. 47 verses of setting up the battle, getting ready, anticipation. And one verse, maybe two, spent on the battle itself. As this little man with the great God crushes the head of the giant. It's over. So fast, it's over. And I can't help but think of the cross, where God has promised this champion is going to crush the head of the serpent and spends 4,000 years in build-up and anticipation and preparation. And one day, the champion fights and wins and the battle is over. He's arrested, he's tried, crucified, killed, buried. What has always struck me about reading the Gospels, only one line is given to his crucifixion in each gospel, "And they crucified him." That's it. But in that one moment, our entire victory is found. Too often, this passage is made to mean we face Goliath, go out there and beat them up. The Bible says we face Goliaths. They're our own idols even. We can't beat them up. "I'll send a man to beat them up for you. Trust in him. The victory is in him, not in yourself." So let's see that this morning, this little man, our theme and points, this little man with a great God crushes the head of the giant. For the battle is the Lord's. Our first point, David's invincible armor. Secondly, David's God-glorifying fight. And thirdly, David's head-crushing victory. And of course, he's a type of the Lord Jesus. The battle is the Lord's. David knows that. And we see that in the armor that he chooses. David said to Saul, verse 32, "No man's heart should fail because of this man, Goliath. Your servant will go. I will go and fight with this Philistine. And as you read what David says here, it sounds kind of like he's quite self-confident, quite a braggart, showing off his stuff. And Saul pushes back in verse 33, you're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. You're but a little kid. And this guy has been trained to be a single combat special troop since he was a kid. Then David, in verse 34, begins to list his mighty achievements as a shepherd boy. When I kept sheep for my dad, there came a lion and a bear who would take a lamb from the flock, and I went after them and struck them and delivered the lamb out of their mouth. And if the lion or the bear fought back, I just grabbed them by the beard and threw them to the ground and killed them. And now if I can strike down lions and bears, O king, who went after my dad's sheep, I can take down this uncircumcised Philistine who's going after my God's sheep. Verse 36, for he has defied the armies of the living God. I'm going to make him like one of those bears and lions. Now here we have the shepherd warrior. Remind you of something coming later? I'm the good shepherd. Lay down my life for the sheep. Here we have the shepherd warrior. And quite a list of accomplishments for him too. You think Goliath is too strong for me? This is nothing for me. But brothers and sisters, don't misread this. David is not bragging about his own achievements and power and parading his own stuff. He is promoting the name of the Lord. He realizes he's no match for this guy. But he's promoting the strength of the Lord and the presence of the Lord with him. Look at verse 37. And David said, here's the key, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. It's not me, it's the Lord. No credit to me, all glory goes to my God. And he'll say that again later in verses 46 and 40, or 45 and 46 to the Philistine. Verse 45 and 46, he again sings the praises of the Lord to the giant. You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And again, verse 46. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. He's not saying you've got to be scared of me. He's saying you've got to be scared of my God. And I wonder how often when we fight our battles in the Christian faith, we rejoice in our own toughness and strength. Character. And we kind of like it when people look up to us because we're so strong. And then we're just like Goliath and Saul. Strength is found in me. We're capitulating to the same idol. Or are we making the name of our God great? And are we clothed in his armor? And saying, I really can't fight this. Anyway, Saul says, go and the Lord be with you. But he didn't quite trust the Lord enough. And by the way, I'll throw my armor into that as well. Again, Saul is a picture of Goliath. Is a picture of Israel who's trusting in human strength. And God has brought about this war and provided David to show that they've been serving an idol. They've been trusting in human strength, and human strength is no match for human giants. So David puts them on this clunky armor of tall Saul. I can't go with these, he says in verse 39. And so he took off the armor. And what did he do instead? Verse 40, he picked up his shepherd's staff. chose five smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he approached the Philistine. Nothing wrong with the armor, really. Nothing wrong with the spear. Nothing wrong with a sling and five smooth stones, but the power belongs to the Lord. That's where David's trust was, and that's where our trust must be. The only power that can establish the kingdom of God and destroy the evil one is divine power. It's the only invincible power there is. Only power that can cut down the earthly powers that Satan tries to use to destroy the church. And that's the gospel, brothers and sisters, of this passage. The amazing grace. It's not about you facing the giants in your life and taking them down. No, the message is the giant is too much for you. Your idols are taking you over and are out to destroy you. And at the 11th hour, the 40 days are up, the test is over, and we failed. We're heading for destruction. And we're not even looking to the Lord for help. We're so mesmerized by human power and might, and so fixated upon this earth, we can't even see our God. We can't slay giants. Who do we think we are? At that moment, God steps in. He sends a shepherd warrior who conquers, who goes forward in the name of the Lord to protect God's sheep and to rescue them from the wolf. Ultimately, he sent Jesus. Goliath says, "Give me a man." God says, "I'll give you Jesus. I'll give my people Jesus." And Jesus comes clothed in the power of the Spirit. In the name of the Lord, he is the Lord. And this is the armor Goliath has not yet met. Divine armor. You might say he ain't seen nothing yet. And he's about to meet a power that's way too much for him. The power of the name of the Lord. Lord, you notice, in capital letters. Which is the name revealed to Moses at Mount Sinai. I am who I am. Which God explains the meaning of. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who's coming down to rescue. The God who comes down to rescue. Because he's faithful to his promise. And he's committed to his sheep. And ultimately, that's Jesus coming down. Though weak in his divine authority, he casts out demons, heals the sick, raises the dead. And above all, he forgives sin, which means he carries the heaviest load of all, the punishment of the wrath of God, the curse of God for our sin, in order to shield us from it. This is the God who stands in the battle for us. We don't have what it takes to fight him. To fight Goliath. What five smooth stones can do. No, actually just one smooth stone. In the name of the Lord to take down the powers that are destroying us. Now really, it's not even the power of one smooth stone. Though they can sail 100 to 150 miles per hour. If they hit their target between all the armor, there's a miracle of God. Can win a stunning victory. But again, the point of the passage is he doesn't even have a sword. He's got nothing but the name of the Lord. A sling and a stone can do nothing without the name of the Lord. Oh, the Lord loves to clothe our weakness with his strength so that his name gets the glory. Let's see that secondly. David's God-glorifying fight. And verse 42, the Philistine moved forward. The music gets louder. The fight is on between Goliath of Gath and the shepherd from Bethlehem Ephrathah. fight between the heavily armed, specially trained giant and the farmer with the slingshot. Five times in the next four verses, 42 and following, we read, and the Philistine, and the Philistine, and the Philistine, and the Philistine, and the Philistine. And Goliath comes first with his heavy armor and dangerous weapons. Secondly, with a heavy dose of scorn. We read that in verse 42. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. The Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? He's 100% of this world, Goliath, measuring David by his appearance, measuring power by looks. He's totally offended by the scrawny little kid. The world is insulted when God's people speak truth to power. They see no power in truth. They see power only in size and tools, technology and money. But what is that before the Lord? Maybe we get scared of big tech, big government, big money, big mouths. We just cower. But what's that before the Lord? This is what encourages our brothers and sisters in the house churches in China every day. They testify. When you speak to them, they're not afraid of being arrested and thrown in prison. We have prayer. We have the gospel. We have God. We're already the winners. That's the way they view it. And that's what gives them so much boldness. We're nothing. We have God. And they bring glory to his name. So he disdained David. He also comes not just with armor and weapons and with lots of scorn. He comes with curses. Verse 43, he cursed David by his gods. I curse you by Dagon. By Baal's power, I will crush you. Again, what powers are really on the world's side? Dead idols, human flesh, bluster, boasting, earthly materials. That's all that the enemy has. Oh, may I remember this in the day of testing. That's all the enemy has. The whole lineup of worldly powers found right here. And the plain truth is, brothers and sisters, that cannot touch those who are in the hand of God, the sheep. What are sheep? Defenseless animals. But the shepherd is divinely powerful. And that's why the most often repeated command in the Bible is, remember? It's the most often repeated command in the Bible. Fear not. Do not be afraid. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The victory that overcomes the world is our faith. There are more that are on our side than those who are with them. All these promises, do not be afraid. And so David comes. He says in verse 45, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Now I want you to pay close attention. If you look in your Bibles, at verses 46 and 47, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, David says to Goliath, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give you the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth. And then look at the end of 46 and beginning of 47. That all the earth may know there's a God in Israel. And that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. This is what David's all about. I'm here to let the whole earth know there's a God in Israel. Remember how fast that news traveled when God delivered Israel out of Egypt? Rahab heard it in Jericho and came to faith. They didn't have internet, but news traveled fast. I want the whole earth to know that there's a God in Israel. And all nations should honor him. That's God's goal. And that all this assembly, Israel, it's for the church too, who's shivering in fear, may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear. May put away that idol that grovels before earthly powers. And trust instead in the name of the Lord our God. That's David's God-glorifying fight. As Jesus came and said, Father, I've come to glorify your name. David is not here to make a name for himself, but to promote the name of the Lord in all of the earth and especially in Israel. That God may be glorified as great, as mighty, as committed to his sheep, as faithful, as loving for all those who trust in him. He saves us by his hand. Not even by David's courage or might or wit or education or experiences. He saves us by his might. He must fight if we would win. Man cannot win the battle. Man cannot take down the giant. It must be the Lord. The battle is the Lord's. So now David is in breaks into a full run toward the giant with no sword, only a sling and a stone. And he puts his hand in the bag, takes out one of the stones, flings it with the sling, and it strikes the Philistine on the forehead, sinks in, and he falls to the ground with a dull thud. One author entitles his commentary on this chapter, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, thud." And that's really what it's all about. Glory to God in the highest and on earth, thud. That's what God is doing here. And some focus on the five stones. In fact, often ministers have preached a series of five sermons on each of the five stones. Five strategies to take down the giants in your life. Maybe that's not the point of the passage. Fact is, it took only one, and the fact is, it didn't even take one, it took the Lord. The focus is not on David, making David great. Focus is on the Lord's adequacy and David's weakness. The Lord's adequacy and David's weakness. A little man with a great God is safe. You can't handle your sickness, it's going to kill you. You can't handle the strife in your life. It's going to kill you. You can't handle the temptation. It's going to take you down. You can't handle the doubts. It's going to kill you. We can't handle anything. But we rest in our champion, Jesus. And do you know what? In Jesus, you're going to win. Because he won for you. We fight a defeated enemy. We fight in a fight that's already been won. And that's what we see in the rest of this passage. Thirdly, David's head-crushing victory. 47 verses for battle setup. 2 verses for the fight. And 9 verses for cleanup. Verse 51, David runs over to the large body of Goliath, takes his own sword and cuts his head off. First he crushes the skull with a stone and he cuts off the head. Which figuratively in Israel, literally, this happened, and figuratively, he cuts off his power, his authority. We've got to see our Lord Jesus here on the cross through death, crushing Satan's power over death, Hebrews 2. Crushing the head of the serpent, winning the victory, because we couldn't. Then, verse 51, the Philistines fled. Then 52, the Israelites chased them all the way back to their country, wounding many along the way. They're fighting a battle that's already been won. That's the Christian's thing. We have a battle to fight. We have the fight of the good faith. But the battle's already been won. Goliath is already dead. Now Jesus says, I'm the champion. I'm the winner. I've already won. Trust the victory is already yours. Put on the full armor of God. and live for me. You are strong in the Lord's victory. Not just in the Lord's strength, in the Lord's victory. And then verse 53, the Israelite soldiers on their way home, they plunder the military camp of the Philistines. Verse 54, David takes the head of the Philistine to where? Jerusalem. Now, this is funny. Because Jerusalem is still ruled by the Jebusites. And it's like David sending the head there. You guys are next. Because when David becomes king, that's the first thing he's going to do is take over Jerusalem from the Jebusites. And then he puts the armor in his own tent. Verse 54, you say, well, that's sort of bragging. Here's my trophy. But no, later on, he puts it in the Lord's tent. This is the Lord's trophy. The battle is the Lord's. I'm going to put it in my tent until I can bring it to the Lord's tent as king. Or even before he becomes king, he gets it into the Lord's tent. And the point is, this was a major head-crushing victory in two senses, physically and figuratively. The head of the Philistines is dead. And the head of God's people lives. The Lord Jesus Christ. And really the idol that's being toppled here, do you remember in 1 Samuel 8, verses 19 and 20? What kind of king the Israelites were looking for. And Samuel warns them, this king is going to abuse you. And they say in 1 Samuel 8, 19 and 20, no, but give us a king to reign over us that we might be like all the nations, that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. They want a king like the nations, who's big, tall, strong, clad with armor, can fight our battles and win. What's this guy do? Saul doing? Cowering. Their idol, not Goliath only, but Saul, is gone, toppled. And the Lord is leading them to the king after his own heart. Enough of the kind of guy you're looking for. How did that work for you? Look at Saul. How did that work for you? And that's why the end of the chapter is so powerful when Saul says to Abner, whose son is he? He knows David. David isn't playing the harp, but no, really, who is he? How did he do this? So they inquire, and finally Saul comes to David, or David comes to Saul. Your servant is the son of Jesse the Bethlehemite. End of the battle story. Brings us to the Messiah King, the shepherd warrior, the man from Bethlehem, ultimately the Lord Jesus Christ. Israel is brought to him, to God's man. The one you need is the one I choose to be your deliverer, man after my own heart. Man of God. Ultimately, the man from Bethlehem, Jesus Christ, who in one blow, in one moment, one sentence, they crucified him, defeated the enemy. The battle is the Lord's, congregation. As long as we think we can fight it in our own strength, that it's our job to destroy the enemy, we will fail. We'll be stressed out, distressed, depressed, because we can't handle it. We really can't. We don't have what it takes. Our strength is too small. Our hearts are too sinful. Our idols are too strong. We give up on ourselves and go to the man from Bethlehem, God's king, God's champion, God's warrior, that one man army, Jesus. You have victory. And as you live your life and face the giants, you know that he's already dead. He's defeated. The victory's already yours. We're more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. And in that knowledge and confidence, we don't boast in ourselves or promote ourselves or boost ourselves. We boast in the Lord and promote him and rest in him and fight in his name. an enemy that's already defeated. May God give us that grace to remember the battle is the Lord's. Satan's head is crushed. Jesus lives and reigns forever, and you are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Amen. Let's sing together 446 stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 5. 446, 1, 2, 3, and 5. We'll ask for the Lord's blessing in a moment of prayer. We praise you, Heavenly Father, that you have given to us victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us by faith to see that victory that's already ours. And in Christian confidence to face life as victors. Lord, nothing can take us down because we're in you. Help us then to trust in you, not to look at ourselves, even for a minute, for then we shall fall, but always to look to you. And whatever we face right now, in Jesus' name we pray, amen.